I am in the book of Luke chapter 2, Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 25. We're going to look at this homie named Simeon. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 25. You don't have to turn there if you don't feel like it. I'm going to read it to you. This is what it says. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Yeah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." I have a question for you this morning, and the question is this: what are you waiting for? Let's pray. Father, speak to us today, I pray. In the name of Jesus, your Son, amen. I truncate everything when I ain't got time. You think that was a quick prayer? You should hear me pray for the food. I don't believe in long prayers over food. God bless it. Because, I mean, you really expect God to bless half the junk you put in your mouth anyway? Like, Lord, bless this. There was this dude named Simeon. And there's several things that this passage of Scripture tells us about this guy, Simeon. First, he was old. Being old is a blessing.
Yeah.
It means you're a survivor. It means you've been around. It means you've been to a lot of places and you've seen a lot of things. It means you've learned a lot of lessons in life. But being older can also mean that you're jaded. You see, how many have ever known an older person who was jaded, who had just been beat up a little too much in life and was just negative about everything and everybody, who had simply learned a lesson that life is not fair, that life is ugly, it's not beautiful, and that people are ugly, and they're not beautiful, and they treat the world like that. But Simeon wasn't one of those individuals. It's not that Simeon had not been wounded in life. It's not that he had not gone through stuff. It's not that he had not experienced abuse or disappointment. He had experienced everything that everyone else had experienced, but he had a different perspective on life.
Yeah.
You see, it's all about your perspective. Your perspective will actually determine your experience.
Yeah.
Simeon had a different experience because he had a different perspective. The first thing the Bible tells us about Simeon was that he was old. But the Bible first tells us that his name was Simeon. And when you begin to understand the meaning of the name Simeon, then you can understand something about this character that the Bible tells us about here in Luke chapter 2. You see, the name Simeon has two meanings. The first meaning is obedient. His name was obedient.
Yeah.
I want to go back and name my daughter Obedient. Maybe it'll make a difference. And I wonder if the Lord sometimes doesn't look at us and say, "I wish I could go back and name Benjamin Obedient."
Yeah.
I wish I could go back and name Jason Obedient. Maybe it would make a difference if I named Tryphena Obedient. Maybe she might be a little bit more obedient. Now, I'm not trying to pick on Tryphena. I'm happy she's here. She might not come back. I love Tryphena. His name was Obedient, and the second meaning of the word Simeon is listening. He was obedient and he was listening. At least that's what his name was.
Yeah.
Listening and obedient.
Nice.
Wouldn't it be wonderful to have two kids, one name Obedient, the other name Listening? Wouldn't it be wonderful to just have one kid that had both of those qualities?
Yeah.
Listening and obedient.
Yeah.
Now, not everybody lives up to their name.
Yeah.
I read in a book about a man who had two sons. He named one Winner and the other Loser.
Oh, mercy.
And Winner became a drug dealer.
Oh.
And Loser became a police officer. They didn't live up to their names very well. And in our culture, we have a lot of folks that don't really live up to their name. Find somebody whose name means happy, but they're just the grumpiest person you ever met. I'm not going to name no names. I'm not going to say nothing about nobody. But it's, you know, there's a lot of folks that don't live up to their name. You know, some people who are called Christians don't actually live up to their name. And that's why we have what we call nominal Christians, meaning Christians in name only. There's no reality or substance behind the name. It's just a label that we attach to ourselves and say, I am a Christian. But actually, the Bible tells us in the book of Acts chapter 11 that they were first called Christian in Antioch, which means they did not call themselves Christian. It was the people around them that watched the way they lived and listened to the way they spoke, and they said, these people are Christians. Why? Because they are like that dude, Jesus Christ, whom they follow. I'm going to ask you a question. Would anybody call you a Christian if you didn't tell them you were? Could anybody observe the character of your life and label you a Christian if you did not tell them that you were a Christian? This guy, Simeon, lived up to his name. He had an awesome name, Obedient Listener. But he was not just named Obedient Listener. He actually was an obedient listener. Lord, I want to be an obedient listener. I want to be a Simeon. Do you know that if you're a Simeon, God has some things to show you that'll blow you away? We'll get to that in a second. This guy, Obedient Listener, Simeon, the scripture tells us two things about him right off the bat. Number one, he was righteous and devout. And the second thing the scripture tells us is that he was waiting. He was righteous and devout, and then it says he was waiting. Yes. It's interesting the order. Righteous and devout is first, and waiting is second. Yes. Waiting means that he did not receive what he had asked for yet. Waiting means that his prayers had not yet been answered. Waiting means that the breakthrough that he expected had not yet come. Waiting means that he was living in a state of promise with no fulfillment. His expectations had been dashed. Waiting means his prayers had not been answered. He wasn't one of those folks that are always testifying about money coming in the mail. You know, those Christians that just make me sick. Especially when you're broke and somebody testifies that the Lord gave them money. You're like, Lord, what? You don't have my address? You forgot where I live? You just hear them testimonies, you're like, yeah, glory to God. Praise the Lord. Now I'm going to go apply for welfare. Well, he's blessed. Simeon wasn't one of those. Simeon was the one who didn't get blessed. He was the one who didn't get his prayer answered. He was the one who didn't get his breakthrough. He was the one who did not get his dreams and his visions fulfilled, but he was still waiting. You put those two things together, he was old, but he was still waiting. Which means, remember I said his perspective was different. He had not lost his hope. He did not get to a certain age where he says, it's too late now. It's over for me now. I'm over the hill. I might as well stop waiting and simply accept the fact that life is what it is. It is what it is. He wasn't in it is what it is, Christian. He was waiting. He was righteous and devout, and he was waiting, which means that he continued to be righteous and devout even while he was waiting. He continued to be righteous and devout, even though he did not get what he wanted yet. Now, we got to talk about this for a second, because there's actually three different kinds of Christians. Christians always find themselves, we always find ourselves in this interim period between promise and fulfillment, this interim period between prayer and the answer to our prayer. And what you do in that interim period actually defines who you are a lot better than what you do after the answer to your prayer comes. Hear a lot of people say, I'm going to start tithing when I make my first million. No, you ain't, because if you can't tithe on $1,000 a month, you can't tithe on $20,000. Matter of fact, it's harder to tithe on a lot of money than it is to tithe on a little money. He was waiting, and he was
righteous, and devout. The first kind of Christian says, because God has not given me what I desire, I'm neither going to be righteous and devout nor waiting. I'm not waiting on the Lord. I'm going to take it myself. I'm going to get from, if the Lord ain't going to give it to me, I'm going to find a way to get it. Young ladies, can I say to you, young ladies, young single ladies who are waiting for the consolation of a husband, if you get that attitude, if the Lord don't give me one, I'm going to just go for whoever comes for me, whether he's saved or not.
Uh-oh. Mercy.
Lives with his mama. Full-time trifling, no job. Let me tell you something. If you take for yourself what the Lord has not given you, you will look back later and say, why didn't I wait on Jesus?
Yeah.
Even if I was 50 years old when he answered my prayer, it would have been better to wait on Jesus. Now, by the way, if you are currently married to that person, it's time to change your perspective. So I think I married the wrong person. Go home and thank the Lord. That's the one. The Lord hath changed his will. That is now the one. No, let's not get it twisted. No, because the first type of Christian loses their devotion and righteousness as well as their waiting in that interim period and says, I'm going to take it myself. The second type of Christian says, I'm going to hold on to the righteousness and devotion because I just got to do my duty before the Lord, but I'm not waiting no more. I'm just going to accept the fact that it's just not going to happen. I wanted it. But now I'm too old. I don't even want it anymore. You ever hear people say, I don't even want it. Look, too late, God. I done waited long enough. Forget it. I'm going to still be righteous, okay? Not going to disobey. I'm going to still be obedient, but I ain't listening no more. I'm not waiting no more. Abraham, Hagar, Ishmael. It's done. And God came and said, in 1 year, your wife Sarah's going to have a son. He said, I'm done waiting for that promise. I've already taken matters into my own hand. We fixed it. Don't worry, God. We know you had a lot on your plate, and you're a little late to the table. So me and Sarah, we talked it through. We fixed it. Hagar was our fix. And God said, I'm not a man that I should lie, nor the son of man that I should change my mind. How many know that God's timing, number one, is not your timing? But number two, God does not forget. See, by the way, don't you hate it when somebody borrows something from you and then forgets that they borrowed it from you? Some folks in this room right now got books that I loaned you. And some of you, I'm glad you're in town, because I haven't seen you or my books in years. If that's you, and you know, when you borrow something from, aren't you tempted to think, I think they forgot about it? You're not tempted to think that? At a certain point, because, I mean, when you walk right in the room with that person that borrowed something, and they, hi, how are you? And they see you every week or every day, and you're like, and you're thinking in your mind, they must think I forgot about that $20. Because how could you look me in the face and smile and say, hi? And in my mind, I'm thinking, where's my $20? You think I forgot? Just because I'm not saying nothing don't mean I forgot. That's how we think about God sometimes.
Yeah.
I think he just forgot that he promised me that. I think he just forgot.
Yeah.
And God's like, you will forget before he does.
Yeah.
He is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should change his mind. Do you know what happens when you hold on to your righteousness and devotion, but you lose your waiting and expectation?
Wow.
You become a slave.
Ooh, yeah.
Because that's what a slave has to do, is simply work and serve and do the right thing with no expectation of any result.
Have you not read
Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, that says, but without faith it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
Yeah.
Part of Simeon's righteousness was not just that he did the right thing, but that he still expected that God is going to bless me, that God is going to show up, that God is going to fulfill his promise toward me. He didn't just walk in obedience. He walked in expectation that God was getting ready to do something in his life. And the scripture says, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Do you know there's two modes of the Spirit's presence in the New Testament? The first mode of the Spirit's presence is the Spirit can come in you. Yeah. And when the Spirit comes in you, it's about intimacy and indwelling. And indwelling means when the Holy Spirit comes inside you, he comes to dwell with you forever. He comes to make his home in you. He comes to live in you and never leave. He comes to be the friend that sticks closer than a brother. How many need to know the presence of the Holy Spirit within you? Yeah. The presence of the Holy Spirit brings you comfort in your time of discouragement. The Holy Spirit brings you encouragement during your time of depression. The Holy Spirit's presence on the inside is able to lift you up out of the deepest pit and out of the darkest valley that you can find yourself in. The Holy Spirit comes as a comforter to be within you. Now, I don't know about you, but when it's real cold outside and I don't want to run the heater all night long, because I ain't paying for that. I go in the closet and grab the comforter. Yeah. It's not just a blanket, it's a comforter. Yeah. And you can snuggle under that thing and hold it close, and it will keep you warm all night long. And sometimes my daughter will, in the beginning, she rejects the comforter and throws it on the floor, claiming to be hot. You know how kids be lying? No, my daughter's lying all the time. I'm not hungry. Yes, you are. Stop her. Just because she wants to make slime, she pretends she's not hungry. I don't like pizza. And then a month later, I want pizza. I thought you didn't like pizza. You weren't doing nothing but lying. I see her outside with a little t-shirt on, and it's like 8 degrees. Put on your jacket. I'm not cold. Always pretending she's not cold. So what I do is I wait till she falls asleep, and then I come in and pick up the comforter and cover her with the comforter. And do you know what I do? As soon as I cover her with the comforter, she grabs it and pulls it around her and snugs. I thought you weren't cold. Do you know that that's how a lot of us live, rejecting the comforter, the Holy Spirit, who wants to wrap himself around us and warm us up, but we pretend we can do it all by ourselves, and we just push him off onto the floor. But I'm telling you, the Father is waiting to cover you with a comforter, to wrap you up in his arm and to keep you warm through every storm. I'm telling you that if you're walking through a storm right now, there is a comforter, and he is the Holy Spirit. And in the name of Jesus, he will come into your heart and he will dwell with you forever if you'll invite him in. Amen. I'm preaching today. I might need 5 more minutes. No. Okay. That clock is mean. Let's get back to it. So the comforter comes within you, but when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you go through the Bible and you find every reference to the Holy Spirit coming on someone, it's about two things. Number one is about prophecy. Number two, it's about power. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he's coming to reveal something that you couldn't see before. He's coming to speak something that you haven't heard before. He's coming to unlock a door that you couldn't open before. He's coming to break something that you couldn't move before. He's coming to lift you into a place that you could not lift yourself up to before. That when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, breakthrough is about to happen. You read the Old Testament, especially when the Holy Spirit came on somebody. Listen, there was a moment where that dude Samson, you remember that homie Samson?
Yeah.
Had hair like Jason?
Yeah.
And the scripture said he met a lion. Yeah, he's just walking down the road and a lion jumps out. Rawr. And the scripture said the Holy Spirit came on him.
Yeah.
Upon him. You know what he did? It said he grabbed the lion by the mouth and tore it apart. Okay. Tore it apart like one might tear apart a young goat. Now, I've never torn apart a young goat before. But it don't seem too easy. You ever try tearing a goat? Just grab a goat. Just tear it apart. But it's definitely easy than tearing apart a lion.
Yeah.
You remember that homie Elijah was up on the mountain. It was about to start raining. And the scripture says that he girded his loins. He was wearing a big long robe, and he put his belt on, reached under, grabbed the back of that robe, tucked it into his belt. That's what it meant to gird your loins in the Old Testament, and all turned like a diaper. And then the scripture said the hand of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord came on him, came upon him, and he ran ahead of the chariots. He turned into Bionic Man. And the chariots are going, you know. And they see this dude like, what the heck? And he's running down. When the Spirit of the Lord comes on you. And isn't it interesting that when we look at Simeon, we see the two things that the Holy Spirit can't resist. You want the Holy Spirit to come on you? Number one, you got to be righteous and devout. And number two, you've got to be waiting. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. That is, you've got to be obedient and you've got to be listening. That is, you've got to be doing what is right and expecting what is good.
Yes.
Doing what is right and expecting what is good. If you wake up every morning and say, I'm going to do what's right and expect what is good, the Holy Spirit will come upon you.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Now, the scripture went on to say he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And it said in the very next verse, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die. Look at your neighbor and say, you will not die.
You will not die.
Now, some of you need a revelation from the Holy Spirit that you ain't going to die. Because some of you came in here this morning thinking you're about 45 minutes away from death. And I've even heard people say the Lord told them they were going to die. The Lord told me I'm going to die. That ain't the Lord. That's not Jesus. You need to refute that. Some of y'all need a revelation. It's just simple. You are not going to die.
Amen.
My mother used to say it all the time. When me and my brothers be acting up and she would just have enough, she said, y'all ain't going to kill me. Y'all ain't killing me. I'm on strike. And she would just go in her room and close the door. Y'all ain't killing me. You need to make that decision when you're looking at all of the cares and stress of your life, the stuff that, listen, you need to learn how to put all that stuff on the other side of the door and say, this job ain't gonna kill me. These kids ain't gonna kill me. This husband ain't gonna kill me. Come on, somebody. The Holy Spirit revealed to him that he would not die until he saw the Lord's Christ or the Lord's Messiah. You're not going to die until you see the Messiah. The word Messiah is the Hebrew, the original Hebrew word of the Greek word Christ or Christo. You see Jesus Christ. The word Christ comes from the Greek Christos, which means the anointed one. It's a translation of the Hebrew term Messiah or Mashiach. It means anointed one. Literally, the Messiah is the one upon whom the Holy Spirit's rest.
Yeah.
Upon whom the Holy Spirit, singular, rests. The Messiah is the anointed one. The Holy Spirit is resting upon Simeon, and the resting Holy Spirit says to Simeon, you're not going to die until you see the one upon whom the Holy Spirit rests.
Yeah.
Isn't it interesting that when the Holy Spirit rests upon you and he opens your eyes to begin to see, what he causes you to see is the Holy Spirit.
Well, yeah.
When God gives you his Spirit, it's so that you can know the things that God has given you by his Spirit.
Yeah.
Because the scripture says that the whole earth is already filled with his glory. All around us, every day, the Holy Spirit is doing fantastic stuff that we don't see because we're not walking in the Spirit. But the moment we begin to walk in the Spirit, God opens our eyes to see everywhere the work of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Now watch this. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Why? Because it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he saw the Lord's Messiah. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit said, you're not going to die till you see it.
Yeah.
So he was clinging to the promise. He was waiting, but what he was waiting for was not the fulfillment of his own desires. He was waiting for what was revealed to him from heaven.
Yeah.
Get this, because there's a lot of believers waiting for a lot of things that God has not promised you. If you ask the average believer, what are you believing for? What are you waiting for? Say, brother, I'm standing in faith for a new job. Brother, I'm standing in faith for a wife. Brother, I'm standing in faith for an increase in my finances. I'm believing God for a new house for my family. I'm believing God for a new car. I'm believing God for this. I'm believing God for that, but haven't gotten anything from the Lord. You just reached into the well of your own desires, pulled out a handful of stuff and laid it out and says, this is what I'm standing in faith for. Notice Simeon in his old age was not still waiting for that new house or that new car. He had gotten to the age where he was done with the things of the world, and the only thing he was waiting for was what God promised him. What are you waiting for? You're supposed to be waiting for something, but what are you waiting for? Are you waiting for what God has promised? Now, don't get me wrong. It's not that you're not supposed to be waiting for a new house, but wait for a new house if that's what God promised you. What did God reveal to you? Have you ever had a moment when you went into your prayer room, closet, whatever it is, space, opened your journal, and began to pray, meditate on Scripture, and a promise jumped out of the page of Scripture at you, and you knew God was giving you a promise right then, and you wrote down that promise? That's what you're waiting for. The things that God has promised. Do you realize that no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ, but through him the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Yeah. We've got to learn how to say amen to all of God's promises. And do you know what? Financial prosperity is a promise that's in the book. But are you just standing on that promise, or do you even know where it is in the Bible? I'm believing God for financial break. Good. Where'd you see that in the Bible? It's in there. It's in the Bible said, blessed in the city and blessed in the field. Blessed when you come and when you go. Okay, good. So go out to the field then. And God's going to bless you there. You got that promise. Go to the field. I'm talking about having enough intimacy with God to actually hear him make you a promise. Having enough intimacy with God to actually get something from him that you're to stand and wait for. Just something out of your own desires. It's kind of like when we talked about blessing the food. It's like you get the most unhealthy meal in front of you and say, Lord, bless it. Lord, bless this food. And then we pray this, make it a nourishment to our bodies. He's like, for God's sake, for my sake, you want me to make that a nourishment to your body? It ain't gonna happen. Mm-mm. Simeon was waiting, and there's another group of believers that are always waiting, but they're waiting for destruction. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you just believe no matter what, you're just expecting destruction to come around the corner at every step. You know, it's kind of like my wife in the car. A car can be 150 yards ahead and they start breaking. Ah! Oh my God! Just freaks out. Now, she's got good reason. She rear-ended somebody before we got married. You know how that's the person speeds through the yellow light and you go behind them? She tried that, but they slammed on the brakes. And my wife didn't get to the brake on time. And, you know, it wasn't that bad, you know, just total two cars. It wasn't that bad, you know. No, it wasn't total. It was just, you know, destroyed. But, you know, I'm just digging a dish. I only got 7 minutes. What am I doing with this foolishness? Lord, forgive me for that. I don't know where that came. I got attacked by the devil. Y'all ain't praying for me. You need to be interceding. I was enticed by Satan to say something negative about my wife. No, it's just a lot of, you get a headache and it's got to be a tumor. Have a little cough. I know that's lung cancer. I know what it is. Hear a noise downstairs at night? I knew they'd come one day. Here they are. It's going to kill all of us. You know, your daughter dances to one song, you're like, I lost her. She's gone. Just always expecting something negative. As soon as the boss says, come into my office, I want to talk to you. That's it. I'm going to start packing up my desk right now. Just always expecting something negative. There's prophets of doom. Can I tell you something? Your worries are not prophetic. When God speaks, he never speaks in the form of prophetic worries. God does not speak in prophetic worry. He speaks in prophetic promise. Some of you think every worry you have is prophetic. I know the Lord's telling me somebody's going to kill me. That's why. Scared all the time. God has not given you a spirit of bondage again to fear, but of love and of power and of the sound mind. I got 6 minutes. I haven't even gotten to the main point of this sermon yet.
What?
Let me get to it. So Simeon was waiting. He was righteous and he was waiting. He was doing what was right and waiting for what is good. Stop laughing. I'm trying to talk up here. And one morning, Simeon wakes up. The scripture says he was moved by the Spirit one day to go into the temple courts. He wakes up one morning and the Holy Spirit says, I need you to go to the temple courts. Watch this. He's home.
Yeah.
He's in his place of safety. He was not a priest. You find him at the temple not because he was a priest, but because the Lord moved him there.
Yeah.
Bible never said he was a Levite or a priest or anything. He woke up one morning and God said, go to the temple courts. It says he was moved by the Spirit to go to the temple courts. Now, we as believers are moving all the time, but rarely moved by the Spirit. Always trying to position ourselves to maximize our moment. And the Spirit wakes him up one morning and says, you can't get the fulfillment of the promise laying here. You cannot sit here. I'm getting ready to fulfill my promise, but before I fulfill it, I've got to move you. And I've got to situate you in the place where my promise can be fulfilled. And he goes to the temple, and he's at the temple courts. Says, where are we going, Lord? Listen to this. And the Holy Spirit says, go to the circumcision section. Every Hebrew boy on the eighth day was circumcised at the temple. And every day was somebody's eighth day. There was a whole section of the temple that was dedicated to circumcision. Nobody wanted to go by there. Let's go watch the circumcisions. No anesthetic back then. Probably a hard stone. Eight-day-old male babies. Just crack, bring the next one. Crack, bring the... Can you imagine how traumatic it was to just stand there and do circumcision after circumcision after circumcision after circumcision all day, every day? And he goes and he's standing there in the circumcision. What in the world am I doing here? And the scripture says, Mary and Joseph come in carrying Jesus.
Yeah.
One mom and one dad and one baby amongst a multitude of mommies, daddies, and babies.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit just kind of takes Simeon's eyes.
Wow. Yeah.
There he is.
Yes.
There he is. What am I looking at, Lord? All I see is a mama, dad, and a baby. You're looking at the fulfillment of my promise.
Yeah.
Well, Lord, it's not the way I imagined it. Well, of course it's not, because revelation and imagination are enemies.
Wow. Wow.
And the greatest enemy to my revelation is your imagination.
Dang.
Well, Lord, I've been waiting for the consolation of Israel. I've been expecting you to come in fire and destroy the entire Roman army. I was waiting for some dramatic intervention. I thought the angel of the Lord would come and just kill all the Roman soldiers in the valley. No, 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 no. That's not what I did. I didn't send an angel. I sent that baby. And Simeon's eyes see this baby. And the Holy Spirit says, this is what you're waiting for. And Simeon didn't understand it. Simeon couldn't see it and make sense of it in the natural, but the Holy Spirit said, that is what you're waiting for. That is the answer to your prayer.
Yeah.
And if I were Simeon looking at a baby, I would be tempted to feel like, God, you did less than what I asked for. But for us, we can look back and realize God did more than what he asked for.
Yeah.
He was waiting for Israel's consolation. This was the Savior of the world.
Yeah.
He was waiting for the Romans to be destroyed. He destroyed every power of hell and sin and death and the grave. What are you waiting for?
Jesus.
With the eyes of revelation, God can do, can point at something small and insignificant. It doesn't look like anything to you, but the Holy Spirit says, that's it. Yeah. There's the answer to your prayer.
Yes.
Right there. Yes. That's it. That's it. I had a dream the other night that my wife and I were supposed to preach somewhere, but neither of us could speak. We couldn't talk. And I said to the pastor, I'm so sorry, but we can't preach tonight. And I didn't even know why we couldn't. And the pastor said, what am I going to do? Who's going to preach? And in my dream, Alethea stood up and said, I'm going to preach.
Whoa!
And I thought, you're just a child. How are you going to preach? And she walked out on the platform, and she took the microphone, and she began to preach with power and with clarity. And I thought to myself, where is all that revelation coming from? And I woke up. I couldn't believe what was coming out of her in that dream. Sometimes God gives you the eyes of revelation to see something that's not yet ready.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Not yet ready to manifest anything. Not yet at the place where you see anything in it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the cloud, the size of a man's hand. Yeah. It doesn't look like anything, but through eyes of revelation, you see that cloud and you say, there's the sound of an abundance of rain.
Yes.
What are you waiting for?
Yeah.
Are you waiting for the fulfillment of your desires? Or are you waiting for the promise? My prayer today is that God would open our eyes and open our ears to hear the promise.
Yeah.
To look to heaven and say, God, I forsake my imagination. Forget what I think it should look like. Forget what I expect it to look like. You don't have to do what I expect you to do, but show me what you're going to do.
Yeah.
Give me revelation to see what you have planned. No eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor mind has conceived the things God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. And if you would look up today and say, God, I give you my devotion, my obedience,
yeah,
and my listening.
That
Simeon spirit. God, I know you haven't fulfilled the promise yet, but I give you my obedience and my listening. Do you know what God does in the interim between promise and fulfillment? He sends the Spirit to rest upon you. And I'm telling you, if the Spirit is resting upon you, I don't care if you have 1,000 broken promises to your name. You walk in the joy of the Lord. I don't care if everything in your life has fallen apart, but the Holy Spirit. I said to God one time, God, I've got nothing. And the Lord says, you think I'm nothing? You really think I'm nothing? I've given you me.
Yeah.
I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I have everything.
Yeah.
I've got the Holy Spirit resting upon me.
Yeah.
I've got everything I need.
Yeah.
I've got the love of Jesus. God wants to open your eyes. It's not based on what you expect.
Yeah.
It's based on what God promises.
Yeah.
Now stand up and just give God some praise.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Lift your hands to the Lord. I sense the anointing of the Holy Spirit in this place right now. And the Holy Spirit comes through the Word of God to bring breakthrough, to remove every lie of the devil from your heart and mind. I asked him today to give me weapons that are not of this world, but are mighty in God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down vain imaginations. And some of you came in this place today held captive by your imagination of what breakthrough would look like. By your imagination of what fulfillment would look like. You're still expecting thunderbolts from heaven, but God is coming in a little baby, in a little child, something that seems insignificant, but God says, what I'm already doing in your life is more significant than you know. What I've already done among you, what I've already given, you just can't see it because you're hindered by your expectation. Right now before the Lord, I just urge you to make a decision. Lord, I forsake my imagination.
Yeah.
I lay it down, and I just want to receive your revelation. I want to see as you see. Holy Spirit, I pray that you work that into every heart and every mind. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for it. And before I dismiss you, I just want to say if there's anybody here today, and you've heard the Word of God preach, I just feel the Holy Spirit just resting in this place right now, and I believe he's stirring some hearts. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I want you to come up here as soon as we're done, as soon as I close in prayer, I want you to come up and pray with me. I want to take your hand, and I want to pray with you today, and I believe Jesus is going to come into your heart. And if Jesus comes into your heart today, this will be the best Christmas you have ever had. No greater gift could you ever receive than salvation through the name of Jesus. And if you need prayer for anything, we have leaders here at the front that are ready to pray for you in a moment. Lift your hands to the Lord. Precious Heavenly Father, I speak your blessing over each and every one of these sons and daughters of yours. Strengthen and encourage in every way. Holy Spirit, rest upon every heart, every mind, every soul. Free us from the deception of our own imaginations. We lay aside the entitlement of our own ways. We want to be blameless. But in order to be blameless, we got to stop blaming you. Blaming you for what you haven't done. Promises you haven't fulfilled. Instead, today, we offer you our obedience and our listening. In the name of your Son, Jesus, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray. Amen. God bless you. Merry Christmas.